The Bible is remarkably specific. It prophesies of an end-time prince of Russia. It also describes a messenger who prophesies against this powerful prince. These two men will impact your life directly. Find out who they are next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Russia is in the news each week and almost daily, it seems, because of what it's doing in the world. And did you know that there is a prophesied end-time prince of Russia that has to be revealed, and there has to be a messenger that prophesies against this prince and against this leader of Russia who is called a prince in the Bible? And in that same context, there are two world superpowers allied together. The one following after this prince of Russia. And that messenger is also told to prophesy against these world powers. Now, you can't do that unless you know who these entities are. You have to know who this prince of Russia is, and the Bible tells you. You have to know who these two world powers are, and the Bible also tells you that. And it's all end-time prophecy for today. And it was written primarily for us in this end time. And you can prove all that to yourself. We have a brand new booklet that is titled The Prophesied Prince of Russia. And we'd like to send you a free copy. All of our literature is free. And I'll tell you, you will find this to be a mind-stunning booklet, perhaps like you've never read before. It is a wide-ranging prophecy, one of the biggest, I would think, in the entire Bible. But there's a reason why Russia is in the news daily and so often, because they are being so aggressive and very dangerous in this world. And many people see that. In fact, everybody ought to see it. They are a mighty power. They have all kinds of military might, and this Prince of Rosh is not afraid to use it. And that's what's causing a lot of problems in the world. Now, God's prophet Ezekiel prophesied all about this to us, and it is indeed a world-shaking prophecy. Notice Ezekiel 38 and verse 1, and let's read that prophecy. Well, let me just back up a moment and just read another part of another verse in this chapter where it says, after many days you shall be visited in the latter years. You see, this is for the latter years. That's what it's all about. That's the time we're living in today and no other. Then Ezekiel 38 and verse 1, and the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, Gog and Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, somebody has to come on the scene and prophesy against this prince of Russia in this end time. Now, that's he's a powerful leader, and this messenger has to know who he is, or he couldn't possibly prophesy against him. The Bible really gets very specific here. And we need to understand this, and if we don't receive it exactly the way God speaks to us, then we won't understand it the way we should. But there's this son of man, and there are two individuals here, a son of man, and then there's this prince of Rosh, or Russia. And I'll show you that's exactly what it means, and even commentaries can see that. And I'll quote some of those comments to you. But notice, this is a very specific and really astounding prophecy, and it gives the name of a man here, the name of the Prince of Rosh, or the Prince of Russia. It actually says that there will be a messenger that will know who he is and will prophesy against him, if you can believe that. That's in your Bible. And it's only for this end time. Now, there is all kinds of proof we have in the book or booklet that we're going to send you if you request it. But if you think about this, there is another man there, or a messenger there, and he delivers the message against the prince of Russia and against those two powerful nations. And if you and he does that, and there's a lot more that he gives you, a lot more revelation from God in addition to that. But if you can identify this message, then you also know who the messenger is, because of what he knows and what God has to reveal to a human being. Nobody can figure these prophecies out and determine what they mean and discern anything about them. They just can't do that. Only God can do that. Now, if you also get into the two nations, Gog and Magog, well, I mean, we have to know, this messenger has to know who those nations are and really prophesy against them as well. So that's quite a commission for any messenger and those who are his followers. So two nations have to be warned, and so obviously this messenger has to know about who this prince of Russia is and who these two great nations are, Gog and Magog. And it's he has to know these entities, and of course he knows many other prophecies, or he couldn't understand this one, because the Bible is all tied together, and here a little, and there a little, and over here a little, and you have to put it all together. And God has to lead you in doing that. But here is an electrifying prophecy in your Bible that talks about this gigantic area and power, these power players in this end time. And it should, if we know it's an end time prophecy, it really isn't as difficult as you would think to even discern all this. But we have to know, if we're going to understand the Bible, we're going to have to know who these entities are. Let me read to you a little about from our booklet on Ezekiel. And we'll also send you a copy of that if you'd like to have it and you don't have it. But here's what it says in Ezekiel 38 and verse 1. I'll read you this again, this prophecy. "And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog." Against Gog, this is the leading nation, and it's led by the prince of Russia. And that's Gog is Russia, as I'll show you. The land of Magog, that's China. The chief of the prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now this all happens before the great tribulation, and leads right into the tribulation and the day of the Lord and the return of the Messiah. Notice what we wrote in the Ezekiel booklet. Scholars generally agree that Gog is Russia, so they can figure that out. And the land of Magog includes China. The descendants of Meshech and Tubal have been found together throughout history. In Assyrian and Greek histories, Meshech appears in or as Muska, M-U-S-K-U, or Muski, or Mushki, all names related to the Russian spelling of Moscow, as you can read in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. What about Tubal? On the eastern side of the Ural Mountains lies the city of Tobolsk, named after the Tobol River. Derived from Tubal, Tobolsk was once the seat of Russian government over Siberia and was basically considered Russia's Asian capital. One other segment of the Russian people is mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and verse 2. There is a controversy over how the Hebrew word Rosh should be translated in this verse. The King James Version uses the adjective chief, but the correct rendering used by the Moffat, the New King James, and others uses the word not as an adjective, but as a proper noun, Rosh. Thus, this verse should read, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Now, one little short paragraph before, this is quite a long quote, but it's absolutely essential if we're going to understand this. Here it is, the concluding statement. Rosh was the ancient name of Russia, once called Rus, R-U-S. Many encyclopedias and commentaries, such as the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, recognize this. So, who is this Prince of Russia? Moscow and Tobolsk. The use of three names states that this is an individual ruler of all the peoples of Russia from the west to the east. This great swath of land, all the way from the east to the west. Now, that's a huge piece of real estate. And here is an individual ruler that rules all of this whole vast area that sounds very much like the former Soviet Union. And already Russia has conquered states that were in that former Soviet Union. Georgia won, and now the Ukraine, they control Ukraine, and Vladimir Putin ordered a devastating cyber attack against Estonia in 2007. So this prophecy, if you think about it, indicates that they may take some more of those nations in that former Soviet Union. And there's a reason why Vladimir Putin is doing that, because he thought that was the greatest time of Russia's glory in this modern age. That's the way he thinks. Now, he's going to be, I think, taking over some more of those countries that were in that area. But just think about this big swath of land over there that he's talking about here. And this, all of it is ruled by the Prince of Russia. Huge, monstrous amount of land. And evil going on there. And all of this prophecy is being fulfilled now. Now, just to give you an idea, all the way back in 2008, here's what I wrote in the Trumpet. Russia's attack on Georgia in August marks the beginning of a dangerous new era in history. This was the first military strike of a rising Asia superpower, and there will be more. Well, now, how could I know that? Well, and then I went on to ask, will a crisis occur over Ukraine? That area is the breadbasket of Russia, and surely it is willing to wage war over that as well. And what has happened to Ukraine since I said that about 9 years ago? Well, now they control Ukraine and have absolute control of a great portion of it. Now look, this is what Russia is doing, and where is it all leading? The Bible tells you exactly where it's leading. This may sound astounding to you, but if you read the book of Joel, you'll find that this is actually called God's army. He's going to use it for something. And you need to understand Bible prophecy to understand that. God is orchestrating His plan on this earth, and we need to know what it is. This messenger of God has to know what it is. God's very elect have to know what it is. Now let me read you a quote from Charles Krauthammer, and he wrote this on December 6, 2013, talking about the Ukraine. He said, "This is no trivial matter. Ukraine is not just the largest European country. It's the linchpin for Vladimir Putin's dream of a renewed imperial Russia." Oh, that's his dream. Hegemonic in its neighborhood and rolling back the quarter century advancement of the Europe whole and free bequeathed by America's victory in the Cold War. Now, we have to understand the mind of Vladimir Putin. He said back in 2005 that the demise of the Soviet Empire was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century. Now, of course, most people didn't agree with that, because after all, they'd imprisoned all kinds of people, persecuted them, and murdered many people just because of their ideas and their thoughts. So most people thought that was a good idea. to break up the entire Soviet Union. But Vladimir Putin, the Prince of Russia, knew or thought very differently about that. Now you can read in Revelation 9 and verse 16 where there's an army of 200 million people. 200 million. Now that's a revelation, that's in the book of Revelation, and it's always for the end time if it's in that book. Where would you find a 200 million man army today? Who could field such an army as that? Russia and China, and it appears that perhaps even India, and certainly Japan will be with them, united with them. The kings of the East, they're called in Revelation 16 and verse 12. Notice verse 16 where it says in Ezekiel 38 and verse 16, you can see there what God is doing, and you shall come up against the people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. Talking about Gog and Magog. It shall be in the latter days. And then he says that's going to cause the heathen to get to know me. They're coming up to be against the people of Israel. And if you don't know who Israel is, you need our book on the United States and Britain and prophecy. And Israel is specifically to two nations today, and neither one of them is the Jewish state in the Middle East. But here God says the heathen are going to get to know him. It's God's army. He's orchestrating all of this, and he's going to cause the heathen to get to know him because of all this great turmoil and war in the world. Isn't that amazing that God works this out that way? This is building toward World War III and all the nuclear bombs and that. And Vladimir Putin, whether we realize it or not, is a sign. It's a sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is imminent. It's a sign of that. Notice Ezekiel 38 and verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. This is going to be clear to everybody, and it's a wonderful prophecy. Many nations and all people are going to get to know God. They don't know God today. Only a tiny little remnant knows God today. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 39, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog or Russia and say, thus says the Eternal God. This is prophesying against a nation and the prince of that nation. Behold, I am against you, O Gog. God is against him, even though it's his army. But he doesn't like their tactics at all, but nevertheless he will use them to fulfill his purpose. Behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Moscow, and Tubal, Tobolsk, and prophesy, in other words, against Russia and the prince of Russia. And then he goes on in verses 6 through 8 to say, and they shall know I am the Eternal. Do you see where all this is leading and what God's master plan is? They're all going to get to know the Eternal. Isn't that wonderful? I should say it is. And you can see, if you want to read Ezekiel 39, verses 11 and 12, where God's going to end up putting Gog and Magog in just one giant cemetery over in the Middle East, their military might anyhow, there. And they are going to, it's going to take 7 months to just bury them. If you want to get a picture of what is coming on this earth and what God is trying to get us to understand and grasp so it doesn't come to pass, so we'll repent and change, but that doesn't look likely at all. And all of this is addressed to the house of Israel. That doesn't even, in this case, that's just two nations, really. And you need to know who they are. And it is not the Jewish nation in the Middle East. These are the two birthright nations, and the Jewish nation is the scepter nation. Verses 28 and 29, it says, "Then shall they know that I am the eternal God. Neither will I hide my face any more from them." Well, this is something we need to understand. The phrase Son of Man is mentioned 87 times throughout this book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a slave, and God came in his mighty vehicle of Ezekiel 1, chapter 1, to the river of Kibar in Babylon, where Ezekiel was a slave, and he addressed his message to Israel, not to Judah or the Jews. He addressed it to Israel. And yet, Israel had gone into captivity over 100 years before. It was too late for his message. Because, you see, it wasn't for ancient Israel, it's for modern-day Israel today. That's the point. See, Ezekiel would have just lived his life in vain if it was for ancient Israel. That was already past. And God talks about making Ezekiel a watchman. And look, he wasn't a watchman. He was a prophet, but he wasn't a watchman. He was a slave, and he couldn't be a watchman being enslaved inside Babylon. You can read that in Ezekiel 3 in verse 17. But he did write a lot about a watchman simply because this message is for the end time. And we have all this news about what is happening in Russia and about this prince of Russia. Let me read you this, which was written in the Trumpet, February 20th, 2014, or in thetrumpet.com. And it's talking about Chechnya, which is inside Russia, which had a death toll far in excess of 100,000 people. Vladimir Putin had all of them killed because, well, they were doing things he didn't like, and some of it was pretty bad, I guess. But it says here, Vladimir Putin is widely known to be responsible for the 2004 poisoning of Ukraine's opposition leader, Viktor Yushchenko, as well as the 2006 poisoning and death of a Russian dissenter, Alexander Litvinenko, and that was inside Britain. And almost everybody that knows anything about this believes that Russia did it and Vladimir Putin was responsible. So we wrote here, Vladimir Putin, together with China, is responsible for vetoing multiple UN sanctions designed to impair some of the world's most horrible regimes. Now, what do you think about that? Here, this is the kind of man that leads Russia. He's killed, even when we wrote this, he had killed over 40 journalists in his land. 40 journalists has been killed, and do you think he knew about it and he was responsible for it? Well, everybody that knows anything about that thinks so. This is the man that we're talking about here, and people keep trying to work with him. We've been trying to do it for 8 years, and I think most people would say, well, it didn't work out well at all. Are we going to be able to really work with a man like that and a mind like that? He wants to rule the world. That's his motive. That it's very much like these beast powers, the four beast powers of Daniel. They want to rule the world and they act like beasts. And so here comes another beast. But God is going to bring it all to pass. And now there's a power rising up in Europe that's going to challenge this, well, the kings of the East, I'll say. And there's a man by the name of Karl zu Gutenberg who says there is an astonishing leadership vacuum. It's astonishing. And he talks about how Vladimir Putin is just bedeviled the West for a year and nobody's doing anything about it. And he just says that the leadership vacuum in this world is astounding. And so what is going to be done about it? Well, it's all leading into the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you're going to find this the kings of the East and this European power are going to be clashing with each other and are going to end up fighting Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And it's going to be the bloodiest battle there ever has been on this earth, but it's going to be the total end of man ruling over man. Jesus Christ is going to return and stop the nuclear madness, or there wouldn't be any flesh saved alive. That's the greatest news we could hear. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
The Bible is remarkably specific. It prophesies of an end-time prince of Russia. It also describes a messenger who prophesies against this powerful prince. These two men will impact your life directly. God's end-time messenger possesses special understanding about two national powers in the Far East. You need this vital insight because these nations will affect your future. Request our free booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy, to understand these formidable nations, past, present, and future. Russia and China have always possessed massive potential power, but they have always faced the world alone. This will soon change. To discover how these Asian power blocks will amass the largest army of all time, read Russia and China in Prophecy. You will also receive a copy of Gerald Fleury's new booklet about the prophesied Prince of Russia. This hardened dictator will lead a 200 million man machine known in the Bible as God's army. Meanwhile, a messenger of God is delivering a strong warning about the Prince of Russia. Understand God's purpose for the Prince of Russia and the unstoppable Asian hordes. Prove where God's messenger is today. Learn how the Prince of Russia will actually give way to the greatest event in the history of the universe. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Russia and China in Prophecy and Gerald Fleury's new booklet about the prophesied Prince of Russia. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.